97.5, The Fanatic.
Well, good Saturday morning. It's awful out there. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you till noon right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. What a weird, weird Memorial Day weekend we got. Not only does the weather suck, but, you know, there's that thing called the pandemic that's going on right now. So, it's crazy. It's weird. It's odd. You know, I've been doing this shift, the Memorial Day weekend shift, for the last 3 years now. And, you know, I usually do the show and I'm talking to people and they're in traffic on the way down Ocean City or Wildwood or Sea Isle, Margate, all those shore towns. And, you know, I'm sitting here jealous, right? Like, I'm sitting here like, yeah, I'm stuck here in the studio while, yeah, you might be stuck in traffic, but at least you're going down the shore. At least your windows are down. You're enjoying yourself. You're looking forward to the weekend. Because there's the people that do the Friday drive down, right? They do the half day of work, or they take off from work Friday. And I produce the midday show. I've been doing that for 5 years now, or 4 years now. So I hear the people driving down the shore Friday from between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., and then Saturday morning, there's the people that go, you know what, I'm going to wait out the Friday traffic, and I'm going to leave early Saturday morning. There's thousands of other people that think that way. And everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's still stuck in traffic. But I at least get to talk to you. It's weird. Now, because of the pandemic, and also because of the awful weather that we've been experiencing the last 2 days. But it is still Memorial Day weekend. We'll still remember for what it actually is for, especially on Memorial Day. That is Monday. I'll be on Monday as well. But today, I want to try to still keep it somewhat normal. And I've been doing this the last couple of weekends now. I've been trying to preach somewhat of normalcy. And, you know, whether it was when the draft reactions, right? Obviously, that's not normal. That everybody was doing that. Reaction to the draft. Followed that following weekend was the NFL schedule was released. So I did the schedule release show. Even though we don't know with certainty whether or not the NFL is going to start on time with the Eagles kicking off September 13th, 1 o'clock against the Redskins. But I wanted to keep it with somewhat of normalcy. And then we did the preview to the MLB season. Even though it's not normal to start in July, and this is before the players were outspoken, before this 50-50 revenue split happened. When we previewed 2 months ahead of time, this was on May 2nd, I still remember, we did the two-month preview. Because July 2nd is that date that they kept on giving as the start of the league. So I wanted to keep it normal. So I'm going to try to keep it normal today. I've been doing the same show the last 3 years as a host on the station the weekend of Memorial Day weekend. Because this is the first, right? This is the unofficial kick to summer. Unofficial start to summer. And when you're driving down the shore, or even if you're not even going down the shore, you might not be a shore person, but you know that you have Monday off. So you have a 3-day weekend, or maybe you did take that Friday off. So now you have a 4-day weekend. You're going to sit outside in the nice weather, even though it's not nice out. And you're just going to relax. And you're just going to let your mind run wild. You're not going to think about work. You're going to think about sports. You're going to think about all kinds of stuff. But you're not going to think about work. It's summertime. You're ready to just get loose. You're ready to lay back, have some fun, you name it. So I've been doing this show the last 3 years. Now, it's funny because yesterday, Anthony does the annual shore show. The Friday of Memorial Day weekend. I remember him doing it in the mornings. I remember him doing it last year with Jason. I remember him doing it yesterday. And he does like the Ode to the Shore, where we talk about all the stuff we love about the shore. I myself have a traditional show that I have done this same weekend the last 3 years. Whether it's on a Saturday, whether it was on a Sunday when I did the show, or whether it was on Memorial Day Monday like I did last year. I want to have some fun because now is the perfect time to have fun. Not only is it Memorial Day weekend, 3-day weekend, people are ready to have some fun, but we also need it. We need somewhat of light in our lives right now. And we're getting closer. I can feel it, right? Governor Wolf put out the statement that all of Pennsylvania, all of the counties will be in the yellow zone as of June 5th. I still don't know what the yellow zone is. I haven't looked up what the yellow zone is, but people are excited about the yellow zone. So let's go. I'm all about the yellow zone. I'm anti-red zone. unless the Eagles are in the red zone trying to score. I'm anti-red zone. So I'm, you know, yellow zone, here we come. We're almost there, July 5th, June 5th.
Yeah!
Yeah, damn right, yellow zone, here we come. But we're almost there. All right, he put out the bill that you can sort of go bar to bar, getting cocktails and walking around. You know, we're getting close to somewhat of normalcy. So I want to keep it normal today, and I want to keep it fun today. And this is what I've been doing the last 3 years. It is the show of mediocrity. The show of mediocrity. It is the show where we talk about that player, that mediocre player that for some reason you just loved, and you always had their back, right? You were upset when they weren't starting. You were upset when somebody bashed them. You were upset when somebody said, that guy's not good. And you go, yeah, no, he has a role. He plays a role, and I like it. He plays that role well. It's basically the role player show. But who was that mediocre player that you just loved? Whether it was growing up, whether it's right now. You know, I love hearing the names from some of the older callers that call in and go, oh, man, there was this eighth guy off the bench for the Sixers in 1975, and he would play like 7 minutes. But hey, he made like 4 points, and those 4 points were big at the end of the second quarter. And we needed that every single night. I love hearing those kinds of names and then doing the research and looking up these players. So it's the show of mediocrity, and I'm giving you the opportunity to represent for that player that never really got the love that they deserved in your mind, or maybe they got too much love, right? There are players that definitely got too much love, like TJ McConnell. I love TJ McConnell. It was amazing what he was able to do in his career, undrafted, right? Goes to two different colleges playing ball, gets undrafted, comes here to Philadelphia, and becomes a role player. And at one point, started in a playoff game, which is amazing. So TJ McConnell, I don't want to say he's a mediocre player, but come on, you know he's not a starter. But people love TJ. So I want to hear those kinds of names today. The player that you just loved either growing up or right now that is mediocre or isn't a starter or isn't considered a star, but you think this guy deserves some more respect. And this is your opportunity today to bring that respect to that player. And the number to get in today is 610-632-0975. Again, I've been doing the show the last 3 years, and I love it because I love hearing those names. And I'm going to give a lot of names that were tweeted at me last night. I put out the tweet last night that we were doing it, and there are a lot of great responses. So that's part one to the show of mediocrity. Part two is another favorite of mine because it allows us to open up, and it allows us to admit where we were wrong. And people hate doing it, but if I'm going to do it right here on the radio with all you listening, I want you to do it as well. And you'll feel better about yourself if you call in and admit something. You feel better when you admit when you're wrong sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. So it's the player that you thought would be great, or at least the player that you thought would make an impact for a specific team year in, year out, and maybe become an all-star one day, or maybe not a Hall of Famer, but you're like, wow, I think this guy is going to be good. So for me, there's a couple. And they're all with the Phillies because all these guys, when it comes from the Phillies farm system, you should already just say, oh, this guy's going to stink. But hey, you need to have a future at some point. You need to have the bright spots at some point. So my number one answer in terms of the guy that I thought would be maybe not great, but I thought this guy was going to make an impact for the Phillies, was Cody Asche. I thought Cody Asche, I remember watching one of those specials on Comcast Sportsnet at the time, right? This was before NBC Sports Philadelphia. It was Comcast Sportsnet. And they went down and they did the minor league report. And it was Cody Asche they did the special on. And they were showing Cody Asche's swing. And who did they put side by side, right? They cut the screen in half. They had Cody Asche swing, the trajectory of his bat and how it looked, the way he stepped, the way he kept his head down. They had it compared to Chase Utley. And I said, yes, I can see it. Now, obviously, Chase Utley's a great player, one of the greatest ever wear the Phillies uniform. But you know what? If this guy can be somewhat of Chase Utley, this guy's going to make an impact. And hey, he's at third base. corner infielder, a little bit of pop. Not a 40 home run guy, but a guy that's going to give you mid 20s to 30 home runs a year. I love this. Cody Ashe, he's going to be a good player. Well, obviously, that didn't work out. Cody Ashe, in case you were wondering, is currently playing for the Lancaster Barnstormers, which is, you know, the same league that, the independent league, the league that, you know, the Camden River Sharks were a part of, the Atlantic City Surf were a part of, where teams just keep on folding left and right. That's where Cody Ashe plays now, the Lancaster Barnstormers. You know who else played for the Lancaster Barnstormers? That Michael Martinez. Michael Martinez, another Philly great, who actually made the last out for the Cleveland Indians when they lost in the World Series to the Cubs a few years ago. So that's a nice squad there that Lancaster has. So that's part one and part two to the show of mediocrity. Give me the player that was mediocre, but like was actually here for a little bit. Like Eric Bruntlett is one of those names where he won a World Series ring, right? He wasn't this great player, but he won a World Series ring. He was the go-to pinch runner slash replacement for Pat Burrell. He would go out there in left field. You trusted him a little bit more defensively. He's a pinch runner. He stole the he stole second and got to third on the overthrow against the Rays. Scored on the Carlos Ruiz dribbler in Game 3 of the World Series. Eric Bruntlett was one of those guys. Last Phillies player to turn an unassisted triple play was Eric Bruntlett, but he didn't. Didn't think you'd be hearing Eric Bruntlett stats today, but you are, because it's a show of mediocrity. So give me the player that you just loved. You probably overloved, because this person didn't deserve it. I overloved Tomas Perez as a kid, because Tomas Perez was the kid, the funny guy that would bring the shaving cream pie and hit the player in the face during the post-game interview, and then every once in a while slap a single, and I go, that guy's good, and you can't tell me otherwise. Tomas Perez, good baseball player, good locker room guy. He's going to be the key to a championship. Now, I was like 12. No, I was like 8 and just thought the Phillies were going to be great and win a World Series at Veterans Stadium every single year. That didn't pan out. Now, did it? So it's a show of mediocrity. Give me the player that you overloved that really didn't deserve it, but you know there was a place where he did need it. And also, the player that you thought would be great, the player that you thought either it was an Eagles draft, a Sixers draft, you saw this guy in the farm system for the Flyers or Phillies, and they're coming up and they're going to get all the specials, right? The minor league reports, and you're like, this guy, I feel it. When this guy comes up, look out. You heard it here first. I believe Cody Ashe is going to be a great ball player. Eh, you know, they didn't pan out. 610-632-0975. But there is a main topic of the day. Don't worry. This past week and last week as well, we've been getting a lot of lists from ESPN. And ESPN has been doing a great job. I have to admit it. You know, there's a lot of times where I roll my eyes at ESPN because sometimes they're too Disney. And, you know, I remember during the rookie or the Rising Stars game of the All-Star break this past year for the NBA, they were posting videos of missed dunks, saying, oh my God, look how good this would have been if he made it. But he didn't make it. And I roll my eyes at ESPN. Like, are you guys serious? Like, I get it, you're run by Disney, but do we have to really celebrate failure? Even though it was a 360 dunk attempt, he missed. So considering that, it's a failure. I can't make a 360 dunk, neither can that guy. I'm a failure too when I try to make a 360 dunk. But ESPN had been doing a great job, really, since this pandemic started. You know, they move up the Michael Jordan docuseries and has captured the world, really, the last five Sundays with the two episodes each Sunday. They have the Lance Armstrong 30 for 30 coming out Sunday. I'm not a bike racing fan, but I am very interested in seeing this 30 for 30 because I know how ESPN does with these 30 for 30s and the docuseries. They do a fantastic job. And I'm sure this is going to be great. You know, they got the Maguire-Sosa home run chase coming out later this summer. They have at the end of this month, they have the Roy Halladay ESPN 60 piece coming out. And it's, you know, post-life of Roy Halladay. Brandy Halladay speaks in it. It's going to be fascinating. It might be tough to watch. It might be inspirational for some people. It's going to be very interesting to see when that comes out. But they've also done a great job for us in the radio world because we get to discuss these things. And it's the top lists, right? They did the top 74 sneakers worn by basketball players. They did the top 74 list of jerseys in the NBA franchises. Now they've been doing the players. And they did the top 74 all-time players list. And, you know, there was constant debate. Constant debate. I think Mikey Miss said it, and he said it best. Once you get after 10, it's really a toss-up, or maybe 15 or 20. Now you're just kind of throwing out names, and there's going to be argument. So 10, the first 10, it's kind of like easy. But after that, it's like, all right, why do you have this player there? And then this past week, on Thursday and Friday, they put out the all-time starting fives for each individual franchise. They started with the East, and then they moved on to the West on Friday. And in the East, you had your Philadelphia 76ers, and your starting five was Allen Iverson, Hal Greer, Dr. J, Charles Barkley, Wilt Chamberlain. Pretty hard to debate that, right? You know, Allen Iverson's Allen Iverson. Hal Greer, most of us didn't see him play. But if you just look at the numbers, you go, all right, this guy had a pretty damn good career. His jersey's retired in the Sixers franchise for a reason. So, all right, Hal Greer at the two. You can make the case, oh, Iverson was more of a two. There's somebody else should be at the one. Whatever. Dr. J, Charles Barkley, and Wilt Chamberlain is Wilt Chamberlain. So those three are very easy. Really not going to debate those. So today, I want to talk about the current rising stars in Philadelphia. Some of you might not think they're rising. Some of you might think they're already falling. But there are some very big names in the city right now. Names that are considered all-stars. Names that you might be able to consider at one point the greatest of all time at their position here. Maybe not all time ever, right? I'm not saying Carson Wentz is going to beat out Tom Brady. I don't think that's going to happen. But some of the names that come to my mind: Carson Wentz, Bryce Harper, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Carter Hart, Travis Konecny. We'll talk about Claude Giroux later on because he's at the back end of his career, but is he one of the best at his position? We'll talk about it. JT Realmuto, Miles Sanders, and there's more. I'm sure there are more very good young players. You know, if you want to go really deep into it, Lane Johnson at right tackle. My question for you today, and again, the number to get in is 610-632-0975. When you hear some of those names, do you believe that that player will eventually become the greatest of all time at their position here in Philadelphia? I'm not talking about nationally. I'm not talking about inside the division, inside the conference. I'm talking about here in Philadelphia. When we look back at the career of player X, will we say that guy is the greatest of all time at that position? And obviously we'll start with the biggest one, the one that is always surrounded with the majority of debate, and that's Carson Wentz. You have quarterbacks like Donovan McNabb, who to me, right now, is still the greatest quarterback in Eagles franchise history. And I'll explain why. Yes, Nick Foles won the Super Bowl.
Number five will always love you.
But based off of statistics, based off of longevity, based off of overall numbers, and even though he only got to one Super Bowl and lost, look at the success rate that he had getting to the NFC Championship game 4 years in a row. Donovan McNabb, right now, to me, is still the greatest quarterback in Eagles franchise history. I know we all feel a certain type of way about Donovan McNabb. I do. But I believe, to this date, he's the greatest quarterback in Eagles history. That is no slight toward Nick Foles. But based off my criteria of longevity and stats, and you can give me 27-2. All right, if you want to make the case, feel free. If I go, who's the greatest quarterback of all time, period, a lot of people are going to say Nick Foles because he won the Super Bowl. But I want to try to look at, you know, longevity and the guy that wore the uniform for a long time. And I know Nick Foles had a stint with the Eagles before winning the Super Bowl. I know 27-2. I know all that stuff. Right, I know going to the playoffs, losing to the Saints. Right, he goes to the Rams and fails there. Goes to the Chiefs as the backup, as then comes back to Philadelphia, wins a Super Bowl, gets back to the playoffs the following year. Nick Foles, great resume here in Philadelphia. Don't get me wrong. But overall, I still go McNabb as the greatest quarterback in Eagles franchise history. But will we one day say that Carson Wentz will be the greatest quarterback in Eagles franchise history? If you want to give me Foles as the greatest right now over McNabb, fine. Go ahead. That's not the debate. The debate is not Foles versus five. The debate is, will Carson Wentz one day surpass all these guys? McNabb, Foles, Jaworski, Cunningham. Will Carson Wentz, based off statistics and success in the league, I'm not saying 10 Super Bowl titles, but at least getting to the Super Bowl a few times, getting to NFC Championship games, making the Eagles contenders year in and year out based on his play. Yes, he needs to have help around him with the defense and weapons and special teams and all that stuff. Everything that goes into a good football team, good coaching, offensively and defensively. You need all that kind of stuff. But will we one day say Carson Wentz is the greatest quarterback in Eagles franchise history? We're going to continue that debate with guys like Bryce Harper, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. Basketball is going to be a little bit different. I'm not going to say, will Embiid surpass Wilt Chamberlain? I mean, come on, we can't really have that conversation. It's just too old. Wilt Chamberlain, it was too long ago. Basketball was different, right? Wilt Chamberlain wasn't stepping out to shoot threes for the Sixers. Totally different. But when you see that ESPN starting five of Iverson, Greer, Irving, Barkley, and Chamberlain, will we one day say, does your heart, does your mind tell you that Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid or both, will they one day be in that starting five? Will they one day be in the, wow, you know what? Chamberlain will stay at the five, but maybe I'll put Embiid at the four, but that knocks out Barkley. Simmons will be at the one. That knocks out Iverson, but maybe I can move Iverson to the two, but that means we knock out Hal Greer. So we're going to be able to have these conversations with all these players today. So it's the show of mediocrity. The player that you just loved that really wasn't that great, but you had a special place in your heart for that player, for that Tomas Perez, for that Eric Bruntlett, for that Ricky Ledé. You had that special place in your heart for that guy, and you always had his back. Me, Jeff Jenkins, one of those names. I legitimately would get angry when I saw Jason Worth's name in the starting lineup. Now, Jason Worth ends up becoming a huge piece in 08. But when they first bring in Jeff Jenkins from the Brewers, going into that 2008 season, I said Jeff Jenkins should be the starter every single day. Now, keep in mind, I was 14 years old at the time. And I said, you know what? Charlie Manuel is screwing up Jeff Jenkins right now, making this platoon nonsense. The best way to get better is to be able to play every single day. Jeff Jenkins is getting, he's getting hurt by only facing right-handed starters and then being on the bench when there's a lefty in the game or always getting pinch hit for in the fifth or sixth inning. He's holding back Jeff Jenkins. I always had that special place in my heart. And then when he hit that double in World Series Game 5, huh, I was the most excited Phillies fans there was because I was the only guy that really supported Jeff Jenkins, in my opinion. So we're doing that. The player that you gave way too much love for that didn't deserve it. The player that you thought would be great and just didn't turn out to be good at all. To me, Cody Ashe was that name. And then the main thing when we actually talk about talent, because I do love talent over mediocrity. The players like Carson Wentz, Bryce Harper, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Carter Hart, Travis Konecny, JT Realmuto, Miles Sanders, Lane Johnson, even though he's further in his career than most of these names. When you think of some of the young rising stars or current stars, or if you believe that they're falling off, do you believe that one day these players will be considered the greatest of all time at their position right here in Philadelphia? 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick is producing the show as he does each and every Saturday morning. I'll get his answers on the other side. I want yours as well. 610-632-0975. I'll read tweets as well. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and I'm taking you until noon right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
929, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchun. Just taking until noon on this show of mediocrity. The player that you loved, that you loved way too much for no really good reason. The player that you thought would be great, who didn't pan out, like the entire Phillies farm system. Cody Ashe was my guy. Try to think of some others. I got to actually like sit and think. Because Cody Ashe is like the go-to. Like, I thought this guy was going to be good. And he just wasn't. He just wasn't good. And, you know, there's just so many players that have played in this city. You know, if you're a sports fan, you remember these names. And it's crazy when you hear a name, you go, oh, my God, yeah, man. You can think of a specific moment, too, with that player. But there are a lot of guys that, you know, there's a reason why it went from 1980 to 2008 until we saw a championship in Philadelphia. A lot of reasons why it went from 2008 to 2017 that we didn't see a championship in Philadelphia. Yeah, we saw a berth here and there. But winning, you know, there's a reason why it took that long. Because there's a lot of players that just did not work out. Like, there's a go-to answer that a lot of people have tweeted in, and that's Andrew Bynum. Like, oh, I thought he was... Well, Andrew Bynum, if he stayed healthy, would have been good. He would have been a good player. Do you build a championship team around Andrew Bynum in Philadelphia? I don't think they would have won. I was as excited as everybody else when they got him. But I didn't think they were going to build a championship around Bynum. And if anything, Bynum worked out for you. You got him beating Simmons because of him. You had a tank because he completely ruined this franchise. So, I don't know. I'm going to sit down and think, because when it comes to quarterbacks, I mean, we were lucky, fortunate enough to have five for as long as we did. Like, I thought maybe Sam Bradford would be decent in Philadelphia. I was like, all right, if he stays healthy, like, you know, you talk yourself into it, right? You go, all right, if he stays healthy, he was a former number one overall pick. If he stays healthy and they build around him, maybe. But Bradford wasn't one of those guys where I was like, this guy's a lock, like I thought Cody Ashe would be. So Josh Rabick, who's producing the show today, and we'll get to the phones in a second, 610-632-0975. Josh, you've experienced a lot of mediocrity, as I have, as all Philadelphia sports fans have. Let's start with the player that you just supported for no real reason. Like, you really thought that this guy deserved more respect. But there's really no reason for him to deserve more respect. Who was that player?
Yeah, there's plenty of guys that fit that bill, but I'll go RJ Umberger.
Oh, nice.
He was one of those guys who, and the Flyers had to make a couple decisions during that time period. They had to make Mike Richards over Patrick Sharp. They had to let Patrick Sharp move on. And then they essentially had to do the same thing between Jeff Carter and RJ Umberger. The obvious decision was Jeff Carter. Unfortunately, I like RJ Umberger's style of play more than Jeff Carter's. Jeff Carter, obviously the better player. I just got frustrated because Jeff Carter would skate himself into bad shooting lanes, miss the net a lot, trying to be, you know, some sniper, and the puck would wrap around the boards, the other team would break out, and there'd be the rush the other way.
So, you know, even though Carter's a great player, Richard's a great player, you know, those kind of guys, you're like, Umberger plays it smart.
Right.
He plays hockey smart, and that's why I like him. Because he does the right things. He might not be talented, but he does the right things.
And most Flyers fans will probably remember the Brian Campbell hit that absolutely rocked Umberger in 2006. But I looked at him as a smart player, go in certain areas, and he's kind of that guy that if he's on your third line, you probably have a pretty strong, deep team, at least around that time.
Okay. See, now that's just true hockey talk right there. You know, oh, man, he's the best third lineman in the league. He might not be the best player in the league. He's not the best player on the team, but he is the best guy on the third line in the entire NHL.
Ask Pat sometime about my Scott Laughton love. I am the biggest Scott Laughton fan. I just fangirl out for him.
Oh, really? You're a big Laughton guy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so that was that. Who was the player that you thought would be great that just didn't turn out to be anything?
Yeah, I talk about growing up in Reading a lot, so I got to see a lot of Reading Phillies. So I get to watch a lot of the Double-A club, and there was a guy who was taken fourth overall in 2001, Gavin Floyd.
Oh, yes.
The 6'4" right-hander.
Oh, yeah.
And he's one of those guys that you thought instantly, like, I just saw one great start in Reading, and after all the hype, I said, that's it. That's it. He's going to be the ace in 2 years.
Now, you're not the only person who had Gavin Floyd Love here.
No.
Here and Pat Egan. Me and Pat Egan both had a Gavin Floyd jersey for your Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh.
Now, I have since moved on from the Gavin Floyd jersey. Pat Egan still wears the Gavin Floyd jersey here into the building.
Is that a badge of honor, though, when you have a guy that whiffs where someone's like, ah, that's a good callback, or is it like, ugh, that reminds me of a really bad time?
You know, I appreciate that he wears it. I'm like, all right, you know, you spent money on that shirt. You keep on wearing that shirt. I don't get the people that burn the jerseys. I think that's stupid. You spent money on that jersey. Why are you burning it for a couple likes on Twitter? So,
yeah.
You know, Pat Egan's still repping the Gavin Floyd shirt. And I think part of it was I played like MLB The Show with Gavin Floyd, and I was like, oh my God, dude, I'm striking everybody out. This guy is going to translate from the video game to the real life MLB. So Gavin Floyd, great answer. I want to hear more of those. 610-632-0975. Vin tweeted in Shane Victorino, which you can't go Shane Victorino. It wasn't mediocre. He wasn't. Shane Victorino, especially in the playoffs, he had a Philly, like that 08 run. He had the Phillies franchise record for most RBIs in a playoff.
And his nickname wasn't slightly above average speed Hawaiian.
No, yeah, exactly. It was flying Hawaiian. He also tweeted in Brent Celek, which that's a good one. I mean, Brent Celek was, going into the 2017 season, was the longest tenured Eagles player.
And the dude played football at Cincinnati. I mean, come on.
So Brent Celek is a great answer. He deserves respect, I do, because he did it for over 10 years, and he was, at the beginning, great blocker, and then also had some nice hands and helped Donovan McNabb and scored touchdowns with Foles. And then when Ertz came in, you think about this, they draft Ertz. Celek still stays here for a couple of years. It's not like they did the one-year transition. No, he stayed here to be primarily the blocking tight end, the second guy that goes out there. And then eventually wins a Super Bowl with the Eagles. So Brent Celek, that is a great answer. I'm trying to figure out, some people have been tweeting in like a name, and I don't know if they're tweeting in for the player they thought would be great or the player that was mediocre that they loved. Because Brandon tweets in two pitchers, and I'm probably going to guess the guy that he loved and the guy that he thought would be great. One's J.A. Happ, and the other is Vance Worley. When Vance Worley came up and wore the glasses and had the haircut and people called him the Vanimal, people thought Vance Worley was going to be this stud. And then when he wasn't good, people still loved Vance Worley because it was a bad time in Philly, in the Phillies franchise. They weren't winning anything, but people loved Vance Worley. J.A. Happ actually has put together a decent career. I'm going to guess J.A. Happ might have been the player that he still loves that's kind of mediocre, even though he has had a decent career. And I guess Worley would be the guy that he was wrong on, because a lot of people thought Worley was going to be great. I never saw it. Buddy of mine, Steve, from high school, he bought the Worley jersey right away. And I said, why are you doing that?
And wasn't Happ like an older rookie? Wasn't he like 27
or
whatever?
Yeah, he did come up later. I mean, he's typical lefty that isn't throwing 95, but you know he can get by with the 92 mile per hour fastball because he's got the other stuff as well. So, you know. And somebody is not happy that I think Konechny could be great. Is that your thoughts, Josh?
I mean, he can be. I do look at him and I don't see a 40 goal scorer, like an upper 30, 40 goal scorer. I think he's a guy who's going to peak out at like their early 30s. So I don't know if he's going to be
really
that star. Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be that star player, but he does have certain skill sets. So when he was in juniors, he played a lot of like fourth line, like checking line type of energy line stuff.
Yes.
So he can do other stuff, which we obviously have seen now with him as a flyer.
He brought that up to the NHL level. And I remember Vigneault once was on with Anthony and said, like, I love this kid's passion, but he's our hottest player right now. I don't need him diving in front of shots and giving the extra hit. Like Vigneault himself said, listen, I need him to tone it down a little bit because he's one of our better players right now, especially during that great run toward the end of the season before the world shut down.
Yeah, it's one of those you never know, but I'll say this. He has quickness and speed, and quickness ages better than speed.
Okay.
Speed is the concern with Voracek and the contract he has because his is straight line speed. You lose a step, there's concern with that.
Yeah.
With someone like Konechny, the hands aren't quite like a Giroux or what we saw with Danny Briere.
Yeah.
That ages well as well. So we'll see what develops in the next couple of years.
Well, then let me ask you, of the young player, take out Carter Hart. Of the young players on the ice, is Konechny the guy that you think highest of, or you have somebody over? Is Provorov?
No, Provorov.
Yeah, okay. All right, so
I mean, I'm kind of also saying Couturier's in his prime now, so that's not me counting Couturier in that. Yeah, I'd say Provorov.
Okay, all right. 610-632-0975. Ray in Clifton Heights. We'll get to you in a second. So we're going to continue talking about those names that you just thought were going to be great, but they weren't. And also the guy that wasn't great, but you love. Like, Aaron Rowan is a go-to answer for a lot of people. Aaron Rowan actually had some good numbers here in Philadelphia. The running into the wall is what people remember. But hitting over 300 and hitting 30 home runs in a Phillies uniform, people forget. He actually had good numbers. He actually had a good career until he went to San Francisco. He was a good player for the White Sox, a good player for the Phillies. I think he was on the World Series team in 05 for the White Sox. So he won a World Series with the White Sox, comes to the Phillies, has some good years, gets paid, and then just fell off the cliff in San Francisco. But here, I don't know. Like, I don't think he was great, but I think he was better than mediocre. I'm not sure. I mean, we could talk about that. Dan Schwartz tweets in, the guy thought it'd be great, and a lot of people thought this. I never really did. I thought it was the other outfielder. He believed Nick Williams was going to be a great outfielder. A lot of people did. I was an Altair guy. I said that he would be the next Jason Wirth, where it was the guy that could kind of do everything. He could bat sixth. You could bat him second. He's not going to be the MVP of your team, but he does everything for you. I literally thought Aaron Altair would be Jason Wirth. Like, they play the outfield. So great answer on Nick Williams. And then he said the mediocre guy that he loved and everybody loved him, Pete Incaviglia, Inky. I did not really get to appreciate Pinky, Inky because of how young I am. But Jason also just tweets in Pete Incaviglia. And then Christy likes beer, so do I. She tweets in Joe Blanton, the player that she loved. And I think we all did. We all loved Fat Joe. And I say that with love. 610-632-0975. We're also talking about the players, the young players, the stars, rising stars, whatever you want to term them, here in Philadelphia right now. Will they eventually be considered the best at their position in Philadelphia? Not nationally, but in Philadelphia. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Stay until noon right here on The Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
946, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas. The show of mediocrity and the show of, hopeful stardom. We hope that some of these players can be great. Some great tweets coming in about players that they just thought would be great or players that they loved so much. Mark tweets in Steve Jeltz of the Phillies. He says, I was Steve Jeltz for Halloween back in 1988. Now, that's when you know you really loved a player. When you wore them, you were them for Halloween, but you weren't, Donovan McNabb. You weren't Carson Wentz. You weren't Jimmy Rollins, Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Steve Carlton, Pete Rose. No, you were Steve Jeltz. That's how you know you loved that player, that mediocre player, because you were them for Halloween. That's an incredible answer, Mark. Incredible. 610-632-0975. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Ray in Clifton Heights. Ray, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, let me get it off speaker real quick.
All right.
How you doing?
Great, Ray. Hi.
Good. I guess I'm a little bit older than you and everything like that. I was talking to the producer beforehand. And my guy was Bob Denier. Bob Denier, I don't know. He was back in the day when the Phillies really stunk from 87, 88, 89, 90.
I've heard stories of Denier.
Yeah, what it was, I guess, like, every time I went with my dad and everything like that, he hit a home run or, like, a single to win the game. And, like, he was, like, my favorite player. Number 22 was my favorite number for, like, years and years and years. But, like,
so in a Phillies uniform, he hit 7 home runs, and you must have been to all 7 of those games.
Yeah, I must have. Like, it's weird. Like, I used to sit up in the 7-Eleven, get my tickets through the hot dogs and everything else like that, and went with my dad and everything like that. And, like, he was the guy. Like, every time I went there, like, he hit a home run or he, like, you know, hit a single to win the game and everything else like that. It was, like, the weirdest thing.
Listen, Ray Bontrager has a World Series ring. He played in 10 games in 1980 for the Phils, so he got a ring.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know he was there that long, you know? So I knew he just bounced around all over the place, you know?
Yeah, yeah, he had two stints with the Phils. He played from 80 to 83.
The Flyers would be Gar Snow. for the goalie, yes. If you remember the snowman, he was freaking great. And that was kind of it, man. That was kind of it and everything like that. But, like, with the Nier, it's just an obscene name, and I was just obsessed with the guy. And I, like, you know, it's not like he was a superstar or not like that, you know, obviously. So
Right. Perfect. I appreciate the call. That's exactly what I'm looking for, is the guy that there's no reason for you to actually have liked this player, right? We're looking at Bob Denier stats right now. He was a career 241 hitter for the Phils in 6 seasons. He hit 264 for the Cubs. So in his career, he hit 255. He had 23 total home runs. 23 home runs in 10 years. And Ray just called in saying that Bob Denier was, like, one of his favorite players growing up. We all had that player. I think you have to, it's more so when you were a kid, I think. Because you like his story is, every time I went to a game, Bob Denier hit a home run. So I think you have to sort of look back into your past and look back at some of these younger, you know, when you were younger, and look back at some of these players. Like, I thought Rico Bronya was a king. I thought he was a god because he hit home runs. He was a power hitting first baseman. I thought he was a god. And then he gets traded because he puts up good numbers for the Phillies and then just falls apart. Like, he wasn't good. It was like a Dominic Brown thing. He had a good half a season or 6 weeks or a full season, and he gets traded for high value. Brown obviously wasn't traded. And then you see, I'm like, oh man, why would you trade Rico Bronya?
Someone else who fits that bill is probably like Marlon Anderson. Because yes. You remember mimicking like the batting stances.
Yes.
You're doing the Griffey and everything. And then you're doing Marlon Anderson.
Yeah, because why not? Because Marlon Anderson, he made an impact for your team when you went to the game that one summer day. So those are the kind of names. I'll give you another name. And I was so bummed out when he left Philadelphia because I thought he was good. Roman Chikmonic. I thought he was a great goalie. And those were prime Flyers years for my youth, right? Like, 2000, 2001 was his first year with the Flyers. And that was when the Sixers were making an impact. So 2000, 2001 was like Andrew's getting into sports. Like, Andrew's experiencing winning, right? The Sixers are getting to the NBA Finals. The Flyers are winning games. He had a 35-15 record his first year with the Flyers.
Great first year. I just remember being so disappointed because now you're moving on from, you're finding out that Boucher didn't work and everything, yeah. But he was younger, and unfortunately it happens with goalies in the league. But then you find out how old Chekmonic is. He's like 33-year-old rookie, and I was like, oh, come on.
Well, so his first year, he comes in second for the Vezina Trophy, right? Like, it's like, oh my God, this guy's going to be great. Year two, a little bit of a drop-off. Year three, again, he finishes seventh in the Vezina, right? So he's up there. Like, he's in the consideration. And then they move on from him. And then he goes to the Kings, and that was his last year. He played 4 years in the NHL. He only played 4 years. And I thought, I was like, wow, this guy's gonna be good.
Yeah, see, if I saw, like, Tim Thomas before, if, like, the Tim Thomas, like, Vezina-esque years existed before, I'd be like, all right, I'd be okay with this guy that's essentially my dad's age playing as a rookie.
Right. That's awesome. So I thought, you know, he was a guy. I was so bummed out when they moved on from Roman Chikmonic. So that's the show today. And I'll sort of go through everything coming up. We have 25 minutes of commercial-free radio coming up, and I want you to join in. The number is 610-632-0975. Josh and I are having fun today. I've done the show the last 3 years. 4 years ago, when I was producing the midday show at the time, we did it the Friday going into Memorial Day weekend. So now 4 years in a row, I've been a part of this show where I set it up, right? Go back to your youth. Think of that player that you just loved when you were a kid. And then when you got older and really started understanding sports and really started appreciating sports more, you go, oh man, that guy really wasn't that good. But he wasn't good. I thought he was because he hit a home run when I was there. And all of a sudden, that guy was my favorite player. Like Robert Person, I was at the 2-home run game for Robert Person. And I was like, holy bleep, Robert Person. I was at a game where Randy Wolf pinch hit. And he hit a pinch hit home run once. I wasn't there, but he put one to the warning track. And I was like, dude, this guy can do it all. I bet you Randy Wolf could stop pitching right now and become an everyday first baseman with that bat.
And it helps when you have a sweet name. You got the Wolf Pack,
everything like that. You know, so Robert Person, Randy Wolf, hit guys that pitched that could hit. I was like, look at this guy, so talented. I can't do either of these things. And this guy's hitting home runs while also pitching in a game. This guy's going to be great. And, you know, Randy Wolf at least had a career, not a good career, but he at least continued to pitch. Robert Person fell off.
I was the same exact way, which makes me wonder what we would have done if Dontrell Willis was a Philly.
Oh my God, we would have loved Dontrell Willis, who was great with the Marlins and then had like one good year with the Tigers and then fell apart. I mean, the Tigers, they won the trade because they got Cabrera out of it. But Dontrell Willis, if Willis was any bit that he was in Miami, or well, at the time, it was the Florida Marlins at the time, all of a sudden, the Tigers would be really good because they all of a sudden have an ace or at least a top three pitcher in their rotation, plus Miguel Cabrera. It didn't really work out for him. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. Dontrell Willis would have been loved here in Philadelphia. Loved here in Philadelphia because he could hit. 610-632-0975. So give the name that you thought would be really good, the player you thought would be good, didn't pan out. Give the name of the guy that you just supported so much, even though he wasn't good. And then finally, we'll actually look at the good side of sports here in Philadelphia, and it's the young rising stars that we have. The guys like Carson Wentz, Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, I will keep on saying, I believe will be the best catcher in Philly's franchise history. When this is all said and done, if they extend him, I want to talk about the young rising stars here in Philadelphia. Will they be considered the greatest of all time at their position here in Philadelphia? I want to talk about that, and the big one is Carson Wentz. Probably the next two are Simmons and Embiid. Are Simmons and Embiid going to be considered those players that you put in the all-time starting five for the Sixers? Will they make it? And it's up to you to decide. 610-632-0975. 25 minutes of commercial-free radio coming up. We have wide-open lines except for Nick and Clearwater. You hang tight. Grab those lines. We're going to run through the calls. We're going to have fun. It's raining. There's a pandemic ruining everybody's Memorial Day weekend plans, even though I know a lot of people went down, but, you know, it's not the same. Let's have some fun today. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you until noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Yeah, the baby. Well, it's the perfect song for talking about mediocrity. All right. Welcome back. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you till noon right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. It is my annual show of mediocrity. It's the show of players that we loved, whether it was when you were a child or whether it was that role player that you loved, that you know really didn't deserve that kind of love. Like, I got the love affair for TJ McConnell. I really did. But then I got one on Twitter. And this was just the perfect response. And this is from Zach. And this was more so in the category of the player you thought would be great, but wouldn't, that and didn't turn out to be. And that's the other part of the show, mediocrity today. My fourth year doing the show, I can't believe it. Zach tweets in KJ McDaniels. KJ McDaniels, I could not stand the amount of love that he got from Sixers fans. Because he was right at the beginning of the process. Right at the beginning. And that man could not do anything on the basketball court except dunk. That was all he could do. But because we were living in the middle of the process, or the very early stages of the process, it was, oh my God, KJ McDaniels, look, he's got a highlight tape. He's got a highlight reel. Look, I can YouTube KJ McDaniels' highlights, because you couldn't YouTube anyone else's highlights. I could not stand the amount of love that I saw KJ McDaniels' jerseys. I didn't think the Sixers were actually making jerseys during the process years, but I saw KJ McDaniels' jerseys. So either they didn't make that, or either they made it and people bought it, or they didn't make it, and then somebody actually went on like NBA.com and created a McDaniels jersey. And if you did, I'm sorry, because he just stunk. He was not a good basketball player, but people loved him. Same with the Vanimal. Vance Worley, as somebody tweeted in earlier. Great answer. So those are the kind of names that I want to hear today. I've been doing this show the last 4 years on Memorial Day weekend, whether I was doing it on a Saturday, Sunday, or Monday itself. The number to get in, 610-632-0975. We have two open lines, and we just kicked off 25 minutes of commercial-free radio. So who is the player that you loved, that you had their back no matter what? You don't care that guy hit 250, but you had his back. And if somebody bashed him, you got angry. When people picked Jason Worth over Jeff Jenkins, I got angry. When Charlie started Jason Worth over Jeff Jenkins, I said, you don't know what you're missing. That's a left-handed power bat right there. He hit over 200 home runs in Milwaukee. He's going to do the same here in Philadelphia. Clearly, I was wrong. But at the time, I had Jeff Jenkins' back. The player that you thought would be good that didn't turn out at all. That answer for me, Cody Ashe, sticking with the Phillies. I thought Cody Ashe, I saw the side-by-side swings, him and Chase Utley. That at the time, Comcast Sportsnet, they did a minor league special report. And they showed Cody Ashe's swing. They put it side by side with Chase Utley's. The short swing for the left-handed hitter. The trajectory of the bat. I said, wow, Cody Ashe, he might not be as good as Chase Utley, but if he's anywhere near it, man, that's a great prospect for the Phillies there. And then finally, in the actual talented conversation, we talk about the players that are the rising stars right now. And I'm basing this off of all the ESPN lists that have come out recently. ESPN did the top 74 basketball players, but they also did the all-time starting lineups. And for the Sixers, it was Iverson, Greer, Irving, Barkley, Chamberlain. I want to ask you, the audience, 610-632-0975. Will Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid eventually be in that all-time starting five? Will Carson Wentz eventually be named the greatest starting quarterback in Eagles history? I'm not going NFL. I'm sticking right here in the city. Will Carter Hart be the greatest goaltender in Flyers history? Will Bryce Harper be the greatest outfielder in Phillies history? Will JT Realmuto, if the Phillies get their heads out of their asses and pay the man, will he be the greatest catcher in Phillies franchise history? To me, it is an easy yes. Easy yes. As long as they pay the man and he doesn't go elsewhere. So some of those young rising stars, like, is Miles Sanders even going to be in that consideration? I like Miles Sanders a lot. I don't think he comes close to LeSean McCoy or Brian Westbrook. I mean, football's changing all the time, and the use of the running back's different, but also using them out of the backfield to catch the ball. Maybe all-purpose yards one day he gets up there. But I still go Shady, Westbrook, or 1A, 1B. Obviously, I didn't see Wilbert Montgomery, but Wilbert Montgomery's got to be in the conversation, obviously. And then Miles Sanders, is he going to be good enough? I don't know. It's still way too early to decide. I liked what I saw the second half of the season last year. But I can't say right now, oh, that guy's going to be one of the greatest of all time. But do you believe that he will be? Like what you saw last year. So some of the younger players in the city right now, the rising stars or the current stars, will they one day be considered the GOAT at their position? Or will they be in that all-time starting five for the Sixers? I want to discuss those as well. 610-632-0975. Before I get to the phones, another name that was tweeted in. This is from Tippy. He tweets in Speedy Claxton as a guy that he thought would be great and just wasn't. Speedy Claxton played 1 year here in Philadelphia, and it was after the championship year, after the finals appearance. He played the 0-1-0-2 season. Speedy Claxton, one day I was at a ShopRite with my family, and there was a basketball hoop set up in the middle of the parking lot, and there was a crowd around it. So my mom and my sister go into the store, and my dad and I check out, like, you know, what's this crowd? What's this all about? And there's World Be Free and Speedy Claxton hosting like a pop-up basketball session. Like, it wasn't a camp that you had to pay money for. It was just a pop-up basketball, you know, I don't even know what they called it. I was so young. And it was hosted by World Be Free and Speedy Claxton. And they trained you how to make a layup. How about that?
That is fantastic. Of my list here, I actually made one for each team. Speedy Claxton was the guy I liked for the Sixers.
And you thought he'd be good. He played 1 year, but let me guess. Was it because of his name?
That was probably half of it.
Yeah, exactly. You go, oh my God, dude, Speedy, he must be fast. He's going to be great. You know, he's going to be a great compliment off the bench for Allen Iverson.
It certainly wasn't because he played at Hofstra.
No, I had nothing to do with that. You have any idea what his name is? First name?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You're not going to get it.
I knew it, too. I knew it a few years ago, and I forget.
How about that Craig Speedy Claxton? Let's go to the phones and talk to Nick in Clearwater. Nick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, Tunis? How are you this morning?
What's up, Nick? How you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. Trying to enjoy the sunshine down here. But anyway.
At least you have sunshine, right?
Yeah, that's true.
We got nothing but rain up here.
Well, it's also 85 degrees at 10 o'clock in the morning, so that's Florida in the summertime.
Hey, listen,
but anyway, my mediocre player comes from the football field in the Eagles, man. My first Eagles game was the Cleveland Browns and the Eagles in 2008, and I thought Stuart Bradley was like the reincarnation of Brian Urlacher, man.
Awesome.
Obviously, he was not. moved over to Arizona and never really heard from him since, but fast forward 10 years down the line, me and my wife had a little boy. We named him Bradley, no connection to the player, but my mom was going through her attic or through her stuff in the attic and found my old Stuart Bradley jersey.
Oh my God.
Got stuffed away in a tote. It was one of like the old school, like Walmart, Kmart jerseys.
Yes.
That weren't even made by the league.
Yeah. I have a Michael Vick jersey like that. I was like, thanks, Mom.
Yeah. So here, I sent my newborn son, Bradley, over top of this jersey, and that's just always been the connection. Whenever I heard you talking about the topic this morning, I had to give you a call.
Yeah, Stuart Bradley, what's the main memory that comes to your mind when you think of Stuart Bradley? And it's not a good one.
The injury. It has to be the injury.
The concussion, when he's sort of walking off the field and falls. And like, it's a shame. That's the one, like... You're right. Like, a lot of people thought highly of Stuart Bradley. They were like, maybe not Brian Urlacher like you were thinking, but people were like, all right, you know, this guy's going to be something. You know, he's a third-round pick. Let's, you know, you got your starting middle linebacker, and it's a shame. That's the one legit memory I have of Stuart Bradley was dropping down on the field.
Yeah, man. Well, I'll hang up and listen. Have a good show, man. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks, Nick. I appreciate it. Enjoy Clearwater, Florida. Now, another linebacker. I hated the trade. I hated it. I was so upset when they traded LeSean McCoy for for Kiko Alonso. Like, I was devastated because I loved McCoy. I still remember, like, I bought his jersey that offseason. And I was like, you know what? Because I wasn't a big jersey guy. I was a jersey man. I had the starting nine for the Phillies and their jerseys. And I stopped being a jersey guy because my mom would buy me the jersey, but she didn't ask me who I wanted. She'd just be like, you want an Eagles jersey for Christmas? Yeah. And she bought me a Kevin Curtis jersey 1 year. 1 year, she came home, and I love my mom. I've told this story a ton of times. I got a surprise for you. I'm like, oh, this is like out of the blue. And we weren't big spenders growing up. I'm like, I was very fortunate growing up. Like, I, you know, I was had a nice house. It was in a cul-de-sac. Like, I was very fortunate. Had a basketball hoop, right? That to me was the coolest thing in the world. I had my own basketball.
Let it rain!
It was awesome. Except I made them, Josh. And, but when it came to, like, clothes and shoes, we weren't big spenders. Anthony was reading that top 74 sneakers, the basketball sneakers worn by players. I couldn't have told you any of them because I wasn't a sneaker kid growing up. I wore like the Skechers and, you know, the New Balances and all that kind of stuff. Like that was where we didn't spend our money with that kind of stuff. So my mom goes, oh, I got you a surprise. I'm fired up. Like, what do I have here? And I pull out, it's an Eagles jersey. Not the stitch, just it's the mesh one, but I'm cool. I mean, right? It's a league official one, just not stitched. And I turn it around, and it's Broderick Bunkley. And I'm like, Mom, why'd you buy me a Broderick Bunkley jersey? I was like, well, why'd you do that? She goes, oh, it was on sale. His number got changed. So she bought me like a $10 Broderick Bunkley jersey because it was on sale. And I was like, I can't wear this to school, Mom. And I think I did wear it one day to school to like make my mom like, Mom, look, I'm wearing the jersey. And like I immediately got ripped like as soon as I walked in. Like, dude, why are you wearing a Broderick Bunkley jersey, you loser? Like, come on.
Oh, no.
But I did it for my, I wore it for my mom.
Right. Yeah, you got it. You got to support Mom.
I wore it for my mom.
Can I say this, though?
Yes.
This is why I love Jason Avant. I won a Madden tournament the year after T.O. was gone from the Eagles, and it was supposed to be a Terrell Owens jersey. And obviously, not there with the Eagles, so the name's not there on the back. It's an 81.
81, Avant.
And what did Jason Avant wear?
It was 81.
So I won that 81. I got a Jason Avant jersey, and I gave it to my dad.
Oh, that's nice. Good work by you. That's a good son right there. I love Jason Avant. And I remember every time he made a catch, do you remember what he would do? Every time he caught the ball, he would wave his hands
to
God, right? Every time he made a catch, he did the basically jazz hands in the air. And I was like, every time he'd make a catch, I at my house would go, you know, I'd do the Avant celebration with my dad. And he's like, why do you love him so much? I was like, I don't know. Look at that passion he has on the field.
He may not have been better than T.O., but he had the best hands of any Eagles wide receiver that wore the number 81 that I saw.
Yeah, damn right. And his third down, I remember it was just ridiculous stat. When he caught the ball on third down, it was like 92% of the time it was for a first down. I'm like, that is just outrageous.
And when you need to recover an onside kick, I'm screaming at the TV, where's Avant? Get him out on the field.
Hands team. He needs to be out there. But anyways, going back to, I completely jumped off where I was going because I started talking about my troubling times with the Broderick Bunkley jersey. The Shady McCoy trade for Kiko Alonso. So Kiko Alonso comes to Philadelphia. And I hated the trade, but I was like, all right, you got an athletic linebacker. You know, he's coming from Buffalo. Buffalo's always been like a defensive team that I thought of. I'm like, all right, Alonzo's going to be something. And the first game against Atlanta, he makes the diving one-handed interception in the Falcons end zone. And I'm like, yes. Look, you know what? I love Shady, but this is going to work out. The Eagles defense needs help with Chip. They need help on defense. Kiko Alonso, he's going to be that. And I didn't buy the jersey. Pat Egan did, by the way. Have to expose him there. We'll talk about it later with him. But I have a specific memory. The phone that I'm holding right now, you can see it's the things cracked in the back. Like my phone, I've had this phone since 2013. The day the Eagles played the Falcons. I missed the interception. And I remember seeing it on Twitter on the way home from the phone store with my dad. And then being like, oh my God, I can't believe I missed it. Like, that's one of the last, like, quarters of football that I've missed. And that was in 2013. A, I can't believe I missed it. B, wow, this guy's going to be really good. The trade was a success. And that didn't happen. We've had some bad middle linebackers here. All right, let's go back to the phones. Jeff and Camden. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Jeff?
Not much. So, let me get this straight. You had a Kelly Peters jersey, right?
Yes.
A single game receiving yards. Who holds the record for receiving yards as an Eagle?
I don't know. Are you going to tell me Kevin Curtis?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know. I thought you were coming here with some facts.
Well, you're complaining about having record setting people's jerseys. All right, I will just continue on with the phone call. All right, so
wait. So I should love the Kevin Curtis jersey?
I don't have one. Okay. I'll love a Kevin Curtis. I'll buy it from you if you still have it.
I might still have it. I'll ship it to you. You don't even have to buy it. How about that?
Nah, I'll buy it. All right, so Clay Mulholland is probably my favorite, regular game pitcher. Mitch Williams is my favorite, closer.
Uh-huh.
But I tell you, Clay Mulholland threw a no-hitter. And nobody with that record in the history of baseball, I think, has a no-hitter. I could be wrong, but that's what I think.
Wait, say that again. So he threw a no-hitter, but what record?
He has like a 500 career record.
That's a good, I guess, trivia question. I know, what's Armando Galarraga's all-time? Remember Armando Galarraga had the perfect game, and they got the guy out at first, but they blew the call? Do you remember that for the Tigers?
Let me tell you, man, I remember that name, but I can't place a face to that name.
All right, so Armando Galarraga played for the Tigers. He had a career record of 26-34. And was a blown call away from a perfect game, but still threw the no hitter.
Wow!
And it was the last out of the game, Jeff. Like, look up Armando Galarraga blown call. All right.
I probably will not on Saturday. I'm in pain okay. Right now. So
okay, I'll talk to you later, Jeff. All right.
All right, buddy.
All right. I'm gonna wear the Kevin Curtis jersey when I get home today. If I still have it, I don't know if I still have it. But I gotta respect the Kevin Curtis jersey. Hold on. Eagles single game records. Is it Kevin Curtis? Let's see. Receiving. Where are we at here, Josh? Do I have to show more respect to my Kevin Curtis jersey? If this is true? Like, am I being disrespectful to Kevin Curtis?
Nah, even a blind squirrel finds a nut.
Well, now I feel bad because my mom bought me a record-setting jersey and I should have been more appreciative of it, which I was. I loved that I had an Eagles jersey. But I can't find this. I'll try to find it. I'll try to see if Jeff is right or not, if whether or not I should be more supportive of the...
I do remember him having that beast game, but I just remember there being underwhelming.
If it was what I'm... thinking of, it was the game where he was wearing the weird blue and yellow jersey, but I can't find it. Let's 610-632-0975. Oh man, let's go to John in Conshohocken. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey Andrew, how's it going?
What's up, John?
Yeah, first time callers. Want to say I actually really enjoy you on the midday show and listening Saturday mornings. Think you do a great job.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, Broderick Bunkley was actually my guy. It was actually a kind of a twofer because it was back-to-back picks in that same draft. It was Bunkley and Winston Justice.
Oh, my God.
A lot of mock drafts I saw had Winston Justice going somewhere in the first round.
Yeah.
And then he slid to the second round. So I'm like, oh, yeah, we got him. You know, it was supposed to be first-round pick. And, of course, like Bunkley, he couldn't get on the field and – I always thought he did okay. Like, he made a couple impact plays, so it was kind of like a tease. Like, he might actually be something, just couldn't figure out why he couldn't get on the field. So I thought he was going to be good. And, of course, Winston Justice in the Giants game. That was pretty much the reason why we ended up with Jason Peters, I think, because I think that was the same offseason following that they made the trade for Peters.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think they were like, all right, we need to help our quarterbacks here. So let's bring in Jason.
Yeah.
I still can't believe how long Jason Peters has been here for. Like, when the Eagles put out that the release that, hey, we're not going to bring back Jason Peters for now, right? We'll stay in constant conversation with him. They said he's been a great part of this 10-year run for the Eagles. I was like, wait a minute, he's been here for 10 years?
He's been here since 2009, John. It's crazy.
I know. It's wild. Because while I was on hold, I was thinking, yeah, you know what? Like, right after Winston Justice, I think that's when they got Jason Peters. But if I could give you a sixer real quick.
Of course.
Hold. Evan Turner. I thought Evan Turner, as the second overall pick, was like the safe pick, and you know, because he knew Wall was going number one. You know, went to Ohio State, so at that time they had some pedigree on that squad. But yeah, he just was mediocre at best, and you know, he had a decent first game, but I thought he was, you know, going to take time to develop and actually maybe not be great, but like a kind of a cornerstone on the team.
You know what? I thought he'd be a decent player too. John, and I appreciate the call. It's a great. I mean, he was number two overall pick, right? So, you know, you can't be crazy to think, all right, there's no way this guy's going to be bad. By the way, Josh puts on the screen. Kevin Curtis had 9 catches for 205 yards in the first half against the Lions in the 07 game. And I was right. It was in the weird blue and yellow jerseys. Now, I'm also looking at the Eagles game record. Tommy McDonald holds the record for most yards in a game. Kevin Curtis, second. Isn't that crazy? You have names. So DeSean Jackson is in the top 10 list 3 times. Then you have like old names like Pete Retzlaff, right? But then you have Tommy McDonald, and then you have Kevin Curtis. And then in most receiving yards in a season, Kevin Curtis is actually 17th all time. With 1,100 yards in one season. So maybe I got to show more respect to the Kevin Curtis jersey. And maybe Jeff is right. I got to respect the Kevin Curtis jersey.
You know what's funny? As I was looking back through, I found one of the headlines when the Eagles signed him. Eagles signed genius wide receiver Kevin Curtis.
Genius wide receiver. He had a 6 touchdown season. That's probably the year I got the jersey in 07. Like, oh, dude, this guy's going to be great. 610-632-0975. I have a lot of tweets coming in. Tony tweets in, fun fact, Kevin Curtis ran a 4.2. And he says, we could use that speed now. Oh, God. It's unbelievable. A lot of great answers coming in. I'm going to read through a bunch of tweets, but we also have open lines now. 610-632-0975. It is the show of mediocrity. The player that you thought would be great, who didn't turn out to be good. The player that was never great, but you just loved that guy. You had his back. You were standing on the Tomas Perez hill, right? And you're saying you come up here and try to disrespect Tomas Perez. You're rolling down that hill after getting a fist to the face. And then also the actual talented side of things. Well, some of these younger players in Philadelphia right now, Wentz, Harper, Simmons, and Embiid, would they be considered at some point down the road? Do you believe that they will be considered the greatest of all time at their position here in this city? I'm Andrew Salchunas, and I'm taking you until noon right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and I am taking you until noon right here on The Fanatic. That song makes me feel good. I feel like I could be down at the beach right now, even though, you know, everything that's going on, can't do it right now. Kind of sucks. Whatever. And the weather. Weather's awful. Hope everybody's trying to enjoy whatever they can out of this Saturday of Memorial Day weekend. So enjoy yourself. 610-632-0975, the number to get in to continue having some fun. Like, that's what I want to do. That's why I love doing this show that I've been doing the last 4 years. Is the show of mediocrity, because it's just a chance for you to give out that bust out player, right? That player where you're like, man, he didn't do anything really, but I love this guy, right? You're Eric Bruntlett of the world. You think of these names, you're like, oh man, I forgot about that name. And that, I just want to have some fun with that today. And somebody tweeted in a great one. I got to find it. Where's this at? He said Jason Capono. I want to give him his credit. Let's see. Here you go. It's Sean. Sean on Twitter said he thought Jason Capono was going to do great here in Philly. Again, it goes back to this for a lot of people because he was good with him on 2K. So I responded with, in 2K, Eddie House. I don't even know if you guys remember who Eddie House is. Eddie House, journeyman. played on, let's see, I brought up his basketball reference page. Played for the Heat, the Celtics, the Suns, the Clippers, the Nets, the Kings, the Knicks, the Hornets, and the Bucks. Journeyman. But man, he was in my starting five every single game in 2K because Eddie House would drain at least 7 threes for me en route to a blowout win. So it always comes back to the video game thing. So I thought, you know, Sixers should go get Eddie House. I mean, Eddie House, he's a three-point. He's the shooter they need. Screw this Jody Meeks guy. Let's get Eddie House in here. And Eddie House, he's gonna lead us to a championship. You need a shooter. Let's go to Dan in the Northeast. Dan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey. Man.
Yo, Dan, what's up, man?
Come on, Ben. Yo, good to talk to you, dude. You know I call Anthony.
That's yeah, yeah, of course. Right, it's the great CD, Dan.
Yeah. What's going on?
What's up?
So I tweeted you some, so I don't want to reiterate them, but one would be Travis Lee, definitely.
What, you thought he'd be good?
I thought, yeah, I did. It was kind of like Travis how you Lee. Thought about Rico Brogna.
Yes.
I kind of like always kind of get them confused. They're like similar to me. That was one. And then I don't know if these guys are out of that mediocre realm, but there are two guys I had that kind of went in different directions. One would be Pat Beryl. Because I thought he was going to be like an absolute all-star.
Oh, yeah, he was a first-round pick out of Miami, and at the time, Miami was a powerhouse baseball school. So, yeah, I mean, that was fair to think that this guy was going to be legit.
Dude, I can't tell you. I had an obsession with Pat Beryl. I loved him. And I don't know if it was because of all the stories you would hear, and it made him into a legend.
Yeah,
you know
I'm sure the stories help, but he was also that guy, I remember, so we were doing we do the playback on Cuz Radio every day. And when we did the 08 Phillies run, after they won the World Series, I played some audio from the parade. And when Pat Beryl got introduced to make his little speech, I'm not kidding you, I think that was the loudest ovation for a player. You know, obviously when Chase Utley said world bleeping champions, the place went nuts. But when they introduced the player to the microphone, I'm pretty sure Pat Beryl had the largest ovation because he had been there for so long, right? He got there in 2000, and that was his eighth year. He ended up hitting 30 home runs a couple of years. So he wasn't the star.
He had a decent career.
Right. He wasn't the star that people thought.
Like it was like a weird cult following type thing.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Levy was here just as long, and it's weird, dude, because the year Levy came was 94, and we just got out of the World Series, and the year Levy finished was 06. 07, we went back to the playoffs. So if you want to measure our time out of the playoffs, just look at Mike Lieberthal's career.
Yeah, Mike Lieberthal stunk, even though Josh Rabick, my producer, thinks he's the best catcher of Phillies franchise.
Another one I had for you, like another player, obviously not mediocre, but my all-time favorite was Lenny Dykstra. That's why I always kind of bring him up. But, dude, like, what he turned into from what I was watching from a seven-year-old kid, or maybe I didn't realize because I was 7 years old, it's just like that was my role model.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he was a good ball player, right? Like,
dude, he was great. He was cool. You know what I mean? He just had grit. I don't know.
He was nails, right? You couldn't go wrong with Lenny.
The bottom was a dumpster for nails, and that's just...
Hey, he just reached, I saw a tweet from him. I think he just reached 2 years without going to jail, Lenny Dykstra. So
there you go.
Congrats to Lenny. He's still a terrible human being, Dan, and I appreciate the call. He's still an awful person, Lenny Dykstra is. You know, good for him for not being in jail for the last 2 years. But he's still not a good guy. Yeah, he's had a lot of issues, Lenny has. But when you're a kid... And like for me, 2001 Sixers, 2001, I was 7 going on 8 that year. So that's when you're really captured from sports. And when they're winning, when they're successful, they bring you in even more. It makes you love sports even more. It makes you appreciate sports even more. It makes you appreciate those players on that team even more. Even though outside of Allen Iverson, that team wasn't that great. Like, you know, you had the great role players, right? Aaron McKee, sixth man. Eric Snow was good for what he was able to do alongside Allen Iverson. You know, you had Theo and then into Dikembe because of the trade. Right, you had these guys that were good at a craft. Dikembe, obviously the block shots and the rebounds. Same with Theo. Eric Snow, he could dish it. He could also hit a mid-range jump shot. Aaron McKee did all kinds of things. But there was really one great player on that team, and that was Allen Iverson. So in 93, when Dan, who was just saying like, hey, I was 7, 8 years old during that 93 season. Well, you're also being captured because they're winning. They get to the World Series. And Lenny Dykstra, as wacko as he was a good ball player and was clutch. You know, I'm sure you guys have seen the 93 Phillies season video because every time there's a damn rain delay, NBC Sports Philly plays it, right? I've seen that thing 1,000 times. And every time it goes on, I still don't change the channel, Josh. I don't know why. I know everything about the 93 Phillies when I wasn't even born.
You know why?
I've watched that damn thing every rain delay.
You know why? Because they were the most beloved team in Philly sports history that did not win a championship.
100%. 100% I agree with you. We actually polled that a few weeks ago on the midday show. And it got the majority of the votes, but Sixers came close second. And Eagles, the 04, were very close.
I was surprised how close that poll was because I was just coming into the building when you were giving the update on that.
Yeah, and I look back at it, and I don't know. I feel like the 04 Eagles, really because of five, like they're obviously loved because they got to the Super Bowl. But you have the love-hate, but more so hate, relationship with McNabb. You know, T.O., all those issues, we all look back at it and we go, all right, it was McNabb's fault, but you only had T.O. for a minute. The defense you loved because of Dawkins, because of Try, all those guys. But to me, you're right, the Phillies was like, you loved every player. If you were around and was able to experience that 93 Phillies team, you loved every player on that team. Maybe now, the whole, depending on where you stand politically, people might not like Schilling, but looking back at it, at the time, everybody loved that team.
And I think there's probably people, now don't get me wrong, the minority of people that would say, I like that team better than the 08 team, as far as likability. Now, I think that's a minority because of the World Series win, but still, I think a lot of people like that actual team outside of the World Series
win. I don't think you're crazy to say that. I don't think you are. And there are reasons behind it. I mean, let's face it, Ryan Howard and Jimmy Rollins didn't get the respect that they deserved. And there may be a reason why, there may not be a reason why. I'm not going down any avenue, but that was a conversation at the time, was why was Chase Utley so loved and Ryan Howard, Jimmy Rollins were not, even though they were huge parts. You know, that was a conversation. I'm not having that conversation. That was a conversation. But 93, I mean, everybody was loved on that team. Everybody was loved on that team. And they weren't great players. Jimmy Rollins, Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, great players. Cole Hamels, is he the great of a great of a great? No, but he's pretty damn good. He's had a very good career for a left-handed starter in this league. Brad Lidge, overall great closer, no, but that year, 48 for 48, I mean, you can't argue that's one of the best years for a closer ever. A lot of great players, whereas the Phillies in 93, they weren't great players. They weren't. We loved them, but they weren't great. They exceeded expectations, and to me, when you exceed expectations, that's why you get a love affair. Overall, you should look back at it and say, I love the 08 Phillies more than the 93 Phillies. Why? Because the 2008 Phillies actually won. But Josh is right when he says there are people that I'm sure have a specific place in their heart where they go, I love the 93 team more than the 08 team because they overexceeded expectations. Like, I won't be surprised that at one point, if the Sixers get to the finals with Simmons and Embiid, and let's say they lose, or let's say they win, there will be people that still say, I love that 01 team more because it was all Iverson and they captured the city and they exceeded their expectations, and that's why we love them. They surprised us, and people love a good surprise. So you're not wrong in saying that. You're really not. 610-632-0975. I'm going to read some more tweets. How about Matt Reed? Were you a reader? Were you a Reed guy?
At first I was, and then there was a point where I knew he wasn't going to be it.
That's great. Love Matt Reed. Oh, here you go. This is a great tweet. Jordan Matthews. He goes, I was ride or die, and I thought Aguilar was going to be great, but hey, you live and you learn. But, you know, we love our teams so much that for the most part, for a long time, they made a draft pick. You're like, yes, that guy's going to be good. And there are people doing that with Jalen Hurts, in my opinion. They're like, you know what? Oh, well, the Eagles like him. He's going to be awesome. You know, it's not like the Eagles haven't had bad drafts in the past, have they?
Yes, they have.
Yeah, the Jordan Matthews thing. People say Jordan Matthews is a fantastic receiver because they look at the numbers. He was also like the only receiver here for a couple of years that could, and he had drops. He had drop issues. But he was such a go-to guy for Carson. He was a go-to guy for Bradford. He was a go-to guy for a couple of these quarterbacks. And he put up numbers, but you're not going to say he's a great wide receiver. 610-632-0975, a couple open lines. The player that you loved that really didn't need the love, but hey, you loved him. You had a special place in your heart for him. The player that you thought would be great did not turn out great. And I'm still surprised nobody's jumped in on this conversation. Is Carson Wentz going to be the greatest quarterback in Eagles franchise history? Is Bryce Harper going to be one of the greatest outfielders in Philly's franchise history? Based off the ESPN starting five, all-time starting five of Iverson, Greer, Irving, Barkley, and Chamberlain, will we one day place Embiid or Simmons in that all-time starting five? Not right now, but will we one day? Do you believe? Does your heart, does your mind tell you yes, or does it tell you no? Explain why. 610-632-0975. We're doing it for all teams as well. Carter Hart, goaltender for the Flyers. I still go JT Realmuto if they pay the man. He's going to be the best catcher in Philly's franchise history. I don't think that's a hot take. I think it's the Philly's catching position has not been a good one. They've had good players who have had good years. Like Darren Dolan had a great year in 93. Right? Chooch had a couple all-star years. You go back to the Boones of the day. Right? They've had good years, but they've never had great careers. I think Realmuto can be that. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and I'm taking you until noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 10:46. See, I like this. I'm feeling good. I just looked outside. The sun's out. It's supposed to rain all day still. Like, the rain's going to come back. But right now, 10:46 in the morning, I'm feeling good. Feeling happy. Until it starts raining again, and I'm just stuck inside. But welcome back. I'm Andrew Salchew. Just take you till noon here on The Fanatic. Continuing our show of mediocrity, the player that we thought would be great, who didn't turn out great. The player that wasn't great, that we loved. And then on the other side, the main thing I want to talk about, and I'm just, like, nobody's jumping on this. I don't know if people are, you know, I don't want to do the whole, oh, maybe they're scared. But, like, there's all these ESPN lists coming out about the best of the best, right? And they did the starting five, all-time starting five for the Sixers. And obviously, Simmons and Embiid aren't in it. But I wonder, are those two players at one point going to be in that all-time starting five? Like, do you move Iverson to the two and place Simmons at the one? And that knocks out Hal Greer in the all-time starting five for the Sixers. Like, is that going to happen one day? For the Phillies, is Bryce Harper, I mean, we've had, you know, you have Richie Ashburn, Bobby Abreu has great numbers, underrated, in my opinion. But Bryce Harper, to me, could easily become one of the greatest, if not the greatest, outfielders in Phillies franchise history. If he puts up consistent 30 home run, 100 RBI seasons over this 13-year contract, to me, it's he could do it. He could be the best outfielder in Philly's franchise history. Yeah, there's probably guys in the 50s and 60s that I didn't obviously didn't see. There's probably names that I don't even know. and he might have had a great career. But other than Richie Ashburn, like, who really? I mean, Victorino, good player, but he's not an all-time great. Bobby Abreu should be in that conversation, but nobody wants to have it. You know, there's, oh, what was that? Something broke. Oops. My bad. We'll call engineering later. Yeah, broke something. So I think Harper is a shoo-in for that. Is Carson Wentz going to be the all-time greatest starting quarterback in Eagles franchise history? Can he be there? Will he be there? Will he surpass five, in my opinion, Donovan McNabb? Or for some of you, Foles? Now, for the people that say Foles is the best, that means Wentz will have to win one, if not two, Super Bowls. For me, just to surpass McNabb, it's continued success in the league and then eventually winning a Super Bowl. Maybe not even needing to win a Super Bowl because McNabb never won. But if you get me to four or five NFC championship games like Donovan McNabb did, maybe then Wentz is in that conversation. Right now, to me, he's not. He's not the best. But I have, you know, a belief that he will be. So I want to talk about those young rising stars in Philadelphia. Do you think they will be the best in this city? Not all time, not other cities, this city. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Josh in Audubon. Josh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, what's up, Jim?
Yo, Josh, what's going on, man?
Not much. I think I got a pretty obvious one. I think a lot of people believed in, and it just, you know, didn't work out for the Phillies. I tuned in late, so if somebody brought it up, you can kill me. Don Brown.
Oh, you know, a couple people tweeted in. Nobody called in with that one yet, though.
Yeah, I remember my buddy's like, he's a huge, like, baseball geek. Like, he does these, like, fantasy baseball leagues where like, they, like, draft rookies and stuff. So he knows, or guys out of, like, college, so he knows all these dudes coming up to the system.
Wow.
And obviously, Dom was, like, a big guy, and even he said, like, Don Brown is a can't miss. He's a 5'2" guy. He's
really?
An inmate. You know, and we were there. We were at the game when he hit his first career home run, and it's so funny. It came up on my time hop like a couple days ago.
Oh, really?
You know, reminisce on that. And remember he had that, I think it was that April and a part of May, where he just, like, tore the cover off the ball. For, like,
yeah, in 2013, he hit 27 home runs. I got to see how many home runs he hit, like, before. Because it was all, he made the All-Star game, right? So it was before the All-Star break where he just went on this tear, and then he falls apart. So let me see how many home runs he hit before the break.
He's struggling to stay in, like, the Mexican League right now or something.
He's not even there. He's actually, Dominic Brown, I believe, is in the Philadelphia area now, and he has a like a gym, like a place where he can practice baseball.
That's fun. And there was another guy real quick. I wouldn't say he was my favorite guy, but I remember I was so anti, like, Notre Dame because of all the Gavey Philadelphia area.
No, yeah, it's totally fair to say.
So in college, I watched a lot of Notre Dame games because that's all my buddies wanted to watch on the weekends. Whatever, I was drinking, I didn't care. But I fell in love with Victor Abiamari. And I remember he was a stud. He's a second round pick. The Eagles actually wound up getting him. And I'm like, oh man, this guy's going to be so good. He could not stay on the field. It always knee injuries. I think he only lasted 4 years in the league, and he had, like, one or two sacks. Like, he was awful, so it was a shame to watch that. But that was funny when you brought up, like, a guy you love. Like, I finally, you know, turned around. I was like, okay, I believe on a Notre Damer, and he let me down big time.
Right, and that's the best part about the show, and that's why I love doing this every single year, because every year I've done this show, and every year I hear a different name. Like, Victor Abiamari has not been brought up yet, right? In the 4 years that I've done this show. And it's great. Like, I love hearing, like, these bust-out names. And you're right, because we all go, like, wow, I can see where this guy's going to be really good. And because we're such sports fans, and especially when it comes to football, and we love college football, and we watch the draft, and we check out the tape and all that kind of stuff. And then you start talking yourself into players, right? Like I found myself talking myself into J.J. Arcega-Whiteside at one point last year. And I was like, all right, he's gonna take over Alshon Jeffrey. He's Alshon Jeffrey's replacement. This is going to be great. And then you saw what happened last year, and you quickly changed your mind.
Right. Can I quickly get to the Philadelphia athletes that hopefully are in our top five?
Yes, yes.
I think Carson, you know, obviously health, permitting. I mean, people, if you look at his stats right now, I mean, they're unbelievable for his first, you know, 3 years, and he missed, you know, some regular season games. He's already got almost 15,000 passing yards, almost 100 touchdowns. And if you look and if you compare it to five, Wentz can surpass his numbers if he could just stay healthy in like 5 or 6 years. Like, it's crazy to think that, you know?
Yeah,
success has to be there. Obviously, the guy's got to get to a playoff game and win a playoff
right.
game.
Right, that's the big thing, Josh, is having the sustained success. I appreciate the call, man, and enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Like, McNabb, he missed a lot of games during his career. We talk about Carson Wentz being injury prone. There were, you know, McNabb every once in a while would miss four games in this season or two or three in this game or this season. Obviously, the ACL injury after he was on the Madden cover, the Madden curse got to McNabb. But McNabb still had great numbers. And even though he was with Andy and Andy threw the ball right, we always complain about throwing the ball way too much. It was still different football back then. It was sort of the beginning of a lot of passing offenses, right? But part of it is, A, the other team was still running the ball. So time of possession, clock was still running, all that kind of stuff. Not as many opportunities to throw the football. The Eagles in 2004, you know, they go 13-3. They're running the ball a lot once they're up big and they're running out the clock. Nowadays, it's different football. I know it's not that far off 15 years ago, but Carson, there's still a lot more throwing nowadays, a lot more. But I'm still not just going to base it off of strictly numbers. I know numbers is part of it, and that's why I go, all right, Nick Foles won the Super Bowl. Nick Foles had 27-2, but overall numbers, McNabb and Wentz will have far better numbers than Foles here in Philadelphia. But success is a part of it. And even though I will never say Nick Foles is the best quarterback in Eagles franchise history, if you say he is because of 27-2 and because he won the Super Bowl a second time around, all right, fine. You want to take Foles over McNabb? I think you're wrong, but fine. But do you believe that Carson Wentz will one day surpass either McNabb or Foles? I say yes. It's if he stays healthy and it's if the Eagles build around him well, and we'll see what happens this year with guys like Rager. You know, does Arthego Whiteside have somewhat of an impact in year two? Is Jackson healthier? Is Andre Dillard a good left tackle replacement for Jason Peters? We'll find out. So is Carson Wentz going to be the all-time great Eagles franchise quarterback? Do you believe that he will be there? I do, but we'll see. Simmons and Embiid, will they be in that all-time starting five? Will Carter Hart be the greatest goaltender ever? We're talking about that. 610-632-0975. And another name, and this is from AJ on Twitter. And this is another jersey that I owned. And it ended up working out for me, the jersey. LJ Smith. I too thought LJ Smith was going to be good. Because LJ Smith was like the hands tight end. And remember, he was going to be Chad Lewis's replacement. And then they end up bringing in Brent Celek. But Brent Celek was still the blocking tight end. So you still had LJ Smith, the hands man. I was like, all right, this guy is going to be good. He's going to play his role. He's going to be a good tight end. He's not going to be Tony Gonzalez, but he's going to score a lot of touchdowns. Doesn't work out. Ends up going to Baltimore, and then his career comes to an end. But I had an 82 Smith jersey, Josh. Torrey Smith wore number 82 with the Eagles. So when the Eagles were going to the Super Bowl, I had my Torrey Smith jersey. It wasn't an LJ Smith jersey anymore. It was a Torrey Smith jersey because it was the number 82. 610-632-0975. And Josh puts up on the board, you also had Chris Cooley and Jason Witten as other tight ends in the division. So I'm like, all right, LJ's going to be better than all these guys. That didn't work out. Couple open lines, 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Thank you till noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We'll be right back. 97.5 The Fanatic.
1102-97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and I am taking you until noon. Final hour of the show. Devon Givens coming your way from 12 until 3. Jason Martinez with the day off. So Devon will be in following me today, 12 until 3. Open lines except for Jim from Southwest Philly, number 610-632-0975. Let me just sort of update you on what we're doing today. It's the show of mediocrity. The player that you thought would be great didn't turn out to be great. Didn't turn out to be good either. The player that wasn't good, but you loved that role player. You said he deserved more of a shot. He deserves more recognition when looking back at his career. You love that guy. And then also, the main conversation, really, as based off of the ESPN list of all these all-time greats, are some of the young rising stars in the city right now, will they be considered an all-time great in Philadelphia? And I have a couple of tweets that I want to read. This is from Chip Reederson. He said, of the star players, the rising stars, he says, Harper is the best one. We know he's going to be here for a long time, and he doesn't have health concerns of some of the others, which is true. I mean, I'm not saying Carson Wentz is injury prone because of a concussion. I will never say that. That was a freak injury. To me, the ACL, freak injury. But hey, whatever. But yes, he's got injury history. Ben Simmons, not so much, but Ben Simmons, we still don't know. Is he really going to take off and become one of the all-time greats in Philadelphia? He's a very good basketball player. But will he become an all-time great? We'll see. Joel Embiid, obviously, injury concerns. So he says Harper as the best one. Another response, and this scares me. This is from Tommy Bradley. He goes, Wentz, Harper, Hart, and Sanders. So he does say Miles Sanders. All yes, as players that will be considered the best. I don't think Miles Sanders is going to be the best running back in Eagles franchise history. If he is fourth, that is still good, right? If he's fourth behind, in my order of McCoy, Westbrook, and Montgomery, and you can jumble that order any way you want, if he's fourth behind those three players, all right, you still had a very productive running back for, what, 6-7 years? Whatever the shelf life is for a running back. So, Miles Sanders, if he's fourth, that's pretty good. I don't think he's going to be the best. But he goes, Simmons and Real Muto, I don't think will be here long enough. So, that means JT Real Muto doesn't get extended after this year. And I have a fit. I'm angry. Because JT Real Muto is the closest thing to a legit year-by-year all-star starting catcher that the Phillies haven't had. Right, like they've had starting catchers that were good players. Carlos Ruiz, good player. We had the debate, the Lieberthal Ruiz debate. I love Carlos Ruiz. Really handled that pitching staff well. Really handled the Bradledge slider in the dirt well. Was big for you in the World Series at the plate. Had some good years. Got pinched for the Adderall, but had some good years. And obviously, everybody knows Dutch and the years that he's put together. But they never did it over a 10-year career, year in, year out. I mean, JT Realmuto is a guy that can hit close to 300 every single year. He's not a 30-home-run guy like people thought he was. No, he's a 20-25-home-run guy. Hits the gaps, RBIs, scores runs because of his speed. One of the fastest-running catchers in the league right now. If he's gone, I'm going to be floored. The other one, Simmons, I don't think will be here long enough, he says. I don't think Simmons is going anywhere. I don't. Simmons and Embiid will stay here into a new coach. Right? If Brett Brown's gone, new coach comes in, they're going to try to make it work. If they can't make it work, then the question is, who do they move on from? My thought is that they would move on from Embiid. Injury concern, right? There's all kinds of stuff. I'm not trying to say pick your guy right now. I'm just saying, logistically, because of the injuries to Embiid, because you have to do the load management and all that kind of stuff, it might be smart to go with Simmons. We've seen how the offense can run with Ben Simmons when Embiid's on the court. But I'm not trying to trade any of these two players. But it scares me that he says Simmons won't be here long enough. I don't know why people feel that way. I guess I can't blame you. But, I think he's still here. But he goes Harper, Wentz, Hart, and Sanders. Simmons or Realmuto probably not here long enough, and he thinks Embiid is not.
Now, it's tough. Embiid, Will Chamberlain, that's tough to beat. But, you know, can you make the case, hey, this guy could be a four? We'll see. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Jim in Southwest Philly. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Jim?
Von Hayes and Mickey Morandini are two guys that I think that, you know, were decent, you know, and could have been better, but six men for the first one was six players or seven players for one guy. And then Mickey Morandini, you know, like, you know, he was decent, you know, good player.
They epitomized Philadelphia. They were lunch pail guys, Jim.
What do you mean by that, Duncan?
You know, they worked hard every single day. They fought for every single inning to play. They weren't hitting 340 and getting on there, but they had their role. They played hard. They were very good baseball players to be on starting lineups every single day.
Yeah, but Von Hayes didn't make do. You know, like they thought he was going to be the next, like, you know, the greatest player in the league.
Oh yeah,
and like, you know, but he never made up to that. And seven players for one guy, people were holding that against him.
Yeah, that's it. You're right. It is ridiculous. But I mean, Morandini, that's a tough one. I mean, Morandini, everybody loved Mickey Morandini.
Especially the announcer, Mickey Morandini.
Oh yeah, Harry, of course, right?
Yeah, get him in there somehow. All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Later.
All right, Jim. Talk to you later. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the call. The number is 610-632-0975. I do love having this show. I love having the show of these names where they're bust outs. So I want to read some of the tweets that came in. Sean Spellman, who we all know is Sean from Pine Hill, Giants fan, but loves the other three teams. Wes Chamberlain for the Phillies. Again, these are guys that I wasn't really around for, but Wes Chamberlain. Graf tweets in a great one for a guy that he thought would be good, and that's Brandon Boykin. And it's fair to have thought he would be good because, if I'm not mistaken, the number was seven. Seven interceptions he had with the Eagles before going to the Steelers. Let's see here. Six. All right, so in 2013, he had six interceptions as the slot corner. And he scored a touchdown that year. And I thought he'd be good, too, as a slot corner. 2014 was his last year. He then goes to Pittsburgh, and he's done. He had a four-year career. But you're not, you know, I think that was fair to have had high hopes for Brandon Boykin. The guy had six picks in a year. That's fair. A lot of people tweeting in, does Fultz count? I mean, if you thought Fultz was going to be great, and obviously is not great, Sean Lynn tweets in, does Fultz count? Absolute bum when he was with us. He still is. He's still not good. He's playing for the Magic, but he's not good. He had one triple-double, and the world went nuts. And I just laughed. I laughed. See? You guys doubted Markelle Fultz. He had one triple-double. One. He had one here in Philadelphia. It was like a 10-10-10. God. Anyways. Tony Roten. I don't know if he's saying Tony Roten because he thought he was going to be good or because he liked him. I hated Tony Roten, and I never thought he'd be good. And people that wanted Tony Roten to come back or people that wanted Tony Roten to stay, I did not understand that at all. I really didn't. Pepe Sanchez, that's a great answer. Freddie Mitchell, Kyle Walsh tweets in, easy, loved Freddie, 4th and 26, gave me hope, but he just never got there. First round pick, you know, makes sense. I'm so out on Freddie Mitchell. And he's still blaming five for his lack of a good career. Come on. Joe Dreger tweets in, Larry Hughes is a player he thought would be good but flopped. Yeah, and Larry Hughes, we all know, right? Paul Pierce, Dirk Nowitzki, you go Larry Hughes. Big Dog tweets in, not Joe Stazek, the Big Dog. He goes, I love Sal Fasano. Wasn't great, but I thought Don Brown was going to be the great player, but it didn't happen. He loves Sal Fasano. I did not like Sal Fasano.
every time I saw that Sal Fasano was in the starting lineup, and I have since heard that Sal Fasano is a fantastic human being. I've heard that he's a great guy. But every time I saw Sal Fasano in the Philly starting lineup, I would just get so upset. And let's see, 2006 was the year he played for the Phillies. So that was Chris Coase, yeah. So that's part of the reason why. I wanted Coase to play over Fasano. They also had Lieberthal that year. But I was so anti-Sal Fasano. But just so many great answers. And I got to read a text from my guy, Anthony Gargano, because I reached out. I was like, give me your names. The players that he thought would be great or good that just didn't pan out. Sir Anthony Dominguez. I agree with him. I thought Sir Anthony, you know, you finally had the 100-mile-per-hour flamethrower reliever. I do think the Phillies totally screwed him up. Just make him the damn closer, like, period. That's it. Now, there are talks that he didn't have stuff to be a closer. Not the fastball or slider, but the mentality, the heart to be a closer. That was a legit conversation, legit concern, and still is. Right, he's still with the Phillies. He's just not going to play this year either, I don't think. He keeps on having setbacks, which if you're a 100-mile-per-hour flamethrower and you have setbacks with your elbow and all kinds of stuff, I don't know whatever ends up happening. But I think they just screwed him up too much, moving him around 7th inning, 8th inning, 9th inning, back and forth, back and forth. Gabe Kapler was an idiot and would pitch him on like back-to-back-to-back days when they weren't going to win anything. Like I hate Gabe Kapler. Screw Gabe Kapler. There's way too many bad Gabe Kapler takes this week. He's awful. He's a terrible manager. He's an idiot. And I think he also hurts Sir Anthony Dominguez. The other names, Ron Flockhart of the Flyers. Tony Hunt, running back. I remember everybody loved Tony Hunt because he's a Penn State guy. So everyone thought, oh, this guy's going to be great, you know, local product. We love Tony Hunt. And then Stuart Bradley. We had a caller say Stuart Bradley earlier. Anthony, that caller, they're not alone with the Stuart Bradley. I think a lot of people thought that Stuart Bradley was going to turn into something. Mike Scanlon tweets, and here's another good answer. Lavoy Allen. He thought Lavoy Allen was going to be a good power forward. He said, for us, for the years after the 2012 playoffs. I liked Lavoy Allen. You know, I was a Temple guy, so I had some bias there. I thought Lavoy Allen was just kind of a guy that, if he played in a different era, probably would have been a little bit better. Because he was more of the traditional power forward who's not stepping out to shoot. I think he could have been good in a different era. Not great, but good. You know, he had some decent years at the Pacers. Not good. Again, he averaged 5 points, 5 rebounds a game in two years for the Pacers. Yeah, I think it was more Temple bias. I thought he was going to be good, too. Right, let's go back to the phones. Bill in King of Prussia. Bill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Killers, how you doing this Saturday morning, my man?
What's up, Bill? How you doing, man? I'm good.
I'm all right. I unfortunately didn't get the chance to tune in lately, so actually during that little monologue, you stole my player. I thought Stuart Bradley was going to be the next answer at middle linebacker.
Oh, my God. So a lot of people did.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and again, I go back to the call that I spoke to like last hour. It's unfortunate that the one real memory I have of Stuart Bradley was when he was falling down the field because he had the concussion. Like, yeah, that's the one legit memory I have of Stuart Bradley.
Yeah, the injuries just caught up to him. I mean, I thought as a football player, I thought he could have made it for quite a many years in this league. But, yeah, the injury bug caught him, and he just couldn't stay healthy. But as far as the top five all time, I was telling your producer, I think Carter Hart has a much tougher road to get into the top five because of the goalies that were before him.
Yep.
But I think Ivan Provorov is the one who can definitely make the top five by the end of his career.
Yeah, I think you're right, man.
His skating ability, his ability to jump up into the offense when needed and just kind of howitzer one. I think he's one that definitely reaches the top five by the end of his career. Simmons, I believe, is in the top five. Embiid, with the questions about his work ethic and health, I don't think he'll beat out Wilt just because Wilt's an all-time great.
And that's okay. Like, if he finishes second, right? Like,
oh, yeah,
that means he's still put together a great career, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I just don't think he'll be able to do enough to surpass Wilt unless he dominates in the finals and brings us a title,
right?
Then maybe you sway the argument his way. But
you think Ben Simmons would be in that all-time starting five?
Oh, I think Ben Simmons by the end of his career, yeah, he'll be the starting point guard.
Now, so do you move Iverson to the two, or is Iverson out?
No, Iverson's to the two.
Okay.
You have Iverson scoring punch. You have Simmons' defense and passing ability. And I think that offense is deadly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That offense is definitely deadly. Bill, I appreciate the call. Yeah, Provorov and Josh, you were saying it earlier. I mean, I fell in love with Konechny this year. And I keep on looking at that contract, and I go, oh, my God. Come year three for this contract, it's going to be an absolute steal.
Yeah, it's almost like the Couturier contract where you're looking at that right now and you're like, wow, that's like top five value in the league. And it's definitely going to do that. And we've already seen him early in his career shut down Malkin for the most part in a series which they lost to the Pens. Right. But it reminds me of like possibly, and we're talking about an all-time great here, like a Nick Lidstrom type mm-hmm. who you can put out there. He's going to eat minutes and you can put him on the top forward on the other team.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, we'll see how these guys pan out. Some more great answers. How about these names? Jerry Stackhouse, which is fair to think that he was going to be a good basketball player, and then Iverson comes in, and you know the two of them weren't going to play well together. But Jeremiah Johnson tweets in, "I thought Earl Wolfe was the next great safety before injuries. So much promise his first year." And he goes, also everyone's favorite skier, Jeremy Bloom, who, of course, drafted by the Eagles, never played. Earl Wolfe, he went to the Patriots, didn't he? Let's see. Let's go to the... No, he never went. Who was the... Oh, that was Eric Rowe. Remember Eric Rowe? He was another guy. He was a second-round pick, I believe. Yeah, so Eric Rowe played 1 year for the Eagles. 16 games, had an interception, couple, you know, 24 tackles. But then goes to New England. And I remember because people were like, oh my God, Belichick got Eric Rowe. Obviously, this guy's going to be good because Belichick got him.
And what was the big story of that Super Bowl? Butler being sat and then insert Rowe.
And Rowe
getting picked on. But I thought Rowe played actually pretty well. He was in the right position. Those balls were just placed in the perfect spot by Foles.
Yeah, I think he was on coverage for both the Alshon touchdown, which Alshon makes the incredible turnaround, jump, back shoulder, catch. And Corey Clements, I'm pretty sure he was on too, where you can still, you know, people still say he's out of bounds.
Him to the back of the end zone. And another one, when you have a guy covered, where do you throw it? Up high, back shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. So you're right. He was always there. Just didn't make the play, Josh. You can't give him credit for not making a play. Let's go to Tasty Cake Dom. What's up, Dom?
Hey, Andrew. How you doing?
Great, Dom. How are you?
I'm great. This is a good show because it brings back... So I was a Jahlil Okafor guy all the way.
Yes, I was too.
Right? And Eitan used to tell me I was an imbecile. And we had like a 2-year argument about, and love you, Eitan, you were right. Because Andrew, I thought he was Kevin McHale. I thought he was going to stay in that box and be 23-10 for 10 years.
Well, he would have been fantastic in 20 years ago, right? Like he would have been perfect 20 years ago. It's just unfortunate that he comes in this era of basketball where it's so up and down, where Okafor wasn't quick, right? So he couldn't keep up the pace of going up and down and the constant three-point shooting. And there was always concerns about his defense, right? Like he wasn't that aggressive going up for the rebounds on defense, both on offense and on defense. But, I mean, I don't want to say he's going to have a good career. Who's he with now? Isn't he with the Pelicans now?
Yeah. I don't see
he's
it
gonna
anymore.
He's going to be a stat guy, right? He's never going to be a winner, but
yeah,
he's going to be a stat
guy. He plays minute, but he doesn't, right, he doesn't help you win. Because he can't get in transition.
No, it's unfortunate. But, I mean, Dom, if he's playing, you know, we did the playback, right, the 83 championship.
Oh, man, that was so...
Jahlil Okafor in the 80s is probably pretty damn good, right?
Yeah. In the 80s, he's an all-star. Yeah,
exactly. You're right. He's putting up 25-10 in the 80s.
Now, I want to ask you, Andrew, you think Nola makes the top five Phillies pitchers? I do.
Love Aaron Nola.
Schilling. Who's after that?
Who you say, Roberts and then Schilling? Those are the two names you gave, right?
What's that?
You gave
I gave you Lefty?
Oh, Carlton, Roberts,
Robin
and Schilling.
Roberts, Schilling.
Well, Hamels is on the list. Hamels okay. Right now. I mean, Hamels has a World Series MVP. I mean, right now, yep. Cole Hamels is better than Aaron Nola.
He won't be. I believe that Aaron Nola is going to win a Cy Young Award someday. I believe that. That's tough, Andrew. That change of pace. You know, I'm a big Nola
As long
guy.
As he doesn't put it right over the plate. That's what he got in trouble with last year. Last year, he floated that curveball right
over. I wanted to ask you about this because I said this to Anthony. Sometimes I think Nola gets squeezed on that strike zone. And that's when he starts to groove it.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
They have to give him the corners. And then sometimes he don't get... the guy's... doesn't show emotion, but he has shown emotion when at times because he needs that.
Yeah, he's a guy that paints.
His ball's going to move, and they have to give him the corners for him to be very effective.
Yeah, he's a guy that paints, right? You know, you want him to be like Greg Maddux, who with a little bit more velocity.
A little bit more velocity, but his stuff, I think his stuff is electric.
Yeah, It'll be very interesting, Dom. And I appreciate the call, man. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday, all right?
All right.
Thanks, Dom. I don't think... I don't know. Here's the reason I say no. To me, Nola's not an ace. To me, Nola on a championship team, right? Or a team that's in the playoffs every single year, will be an above average number two. When he first came into the league, I said, this guy is going to be a great number two starter or a good number two starter and a great number three. Now, he has surpassed my expectations. I never thought that this guy was going to stink. I just thought, all right, you know what? When the Phillies are in the World Series, he's going to be the third. He's going to be the game three starter. Now, I think he has surpassed that. I think he is going to be a great number two. It's very interesting to see how the career shapes up of Zach Wheeler, because Zach Wheeler, stuff-wise, makes sense to be an ace, right? Mid-90s fastball, a lot of strikeouts. His biggest problem is he's been injured a lot, banged up a lot, and that's a problem. So right now, Aaron Nola is the ace of the staff. Wheeler's the number two. But is Aaron Nola going to be a top five Philly starting pitcher of all time? I don't know. We'll see. You know, I'm going to go through some more of the names. You know, are we leaving some names off? I'm sure we are. Let's see. You know, I'm going to look at these during the break because we got to hit a break. So 610-632-0975. Pete and Princeton, you hang tight. Devon Givens coming your way at 12 o'clock. I'm gonna go through this list, the Philly starting pitchers. I don't know if he's going to be all-time starting great. But if he's in top 10, that's pretty good, especially for this Phillies team. This Phillies team has never generated good pitching from the farm system. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and I'm taking you until noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.